Shalom and good evening from Connect in Galilee in the Jezreel Valley in Israel. I'm Amir Tsarfati, and today with me, as always, Pastor Barry Stagner from Southern California. Shalom, Pastor Barry. How are you, my friend?
Shalom, Amir. Doing well. Hope you are too.
Yes, I'm doing very well. I can't believe it's already crossed halfway point of this month, and we're treading towards the year end, and both you and I are going to have a very busy year and the very busy beginning of the year as we travel to Southeast Asia to speak in the Philippines and in Hong Kong. Can you tell us a little bit of what we're going to do?
Well, we've got quite a busy schedule. Of course, we're taking Discovering Daniel out globally, teaching that twice. We've got some evenings of Bible prophecy, as well as speaking at multiple churches during this visit. And then we'll head over to Hong Kong and do the same thing. We'll do a Discovering Daniel on Saturday, and then a teaching at a church on Sunday morning. And so it's going to be an action-packed, I think, 19 days total that we'll be traveling, at least regarding the teaching. So we've got a full plate. So it's going to be a great way to kick off the year.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you guys, if you want to sign up for those events, if you live in the Philippines or in Hong Kong, go online to beholdisrael.org and find a section of speaking around the world where you will need to sign up. Now, I don't think those events cost money, but it's still, you need to secure your seat because space is limited. So we need you to sign up. Go to beholdisrael.org. Pastor Barry, very packed update today, but let's start with a prayer. Would you do us the honor and start with a prayer?
Absolutely. And God, we are again just so thankful for this opportunity today. We thank you that we need not speak of our own opinions, but we can look and measure what the world is doing today against your word and the things you foretold for us to watch for, to know when our redemption is nigh. So we ask God for clarity today, both in what's spoken and that you would touch the ears of the hearer. And Lord, I also pray that if there are any who have an errant understanding of the role for your chosen people, the Jews, in these last days, that you would correct thinking. And so we ask these things, God, because of the privilege of prayer. And we ask them in and through the name above all others, the name of your Son, our Savior, Yeshua. We pray these things. Amen. Yes.
Amen, amen. And we all wake up every morning to more and more and more cases of anti-Semitism. It seems like it's almost out of control. Global anti-Semitism that explodes into violence. The Hanukkah massacre at Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia, is a bitter reminder that words eventually are translated to actions. I would like to read to you a short post written by Dr. Cassie Babb. And basically, he spoke about this. He said, if you aren't aware of what's going on right now, let me break it down for you. Jews worldwide are being hunted down and killed, and it's only day four today of Hanukkah, and already we've seen Australia, in Brown University, and you will talk about all of that in a few seconds, MIT, in New York, in Amsterdam, in California, in Poland, in Germany, in Canada, and he concludes his post by saying, I've been studying terrorism for 20 years, and I have never seen things this bad. The West is under attack, full stop. The question now is, what the heck are we going to do about it? That's a post written by a non-Jewish terrorism expert that is dealing with terrorism for over 20 years. He has never seen anything like that before in his life. And I guess there's so much to talk about today.
Yeah, there really is. And Amir, I think what you just pointed out is so vitally important, because if we are late in church history, we would expect to hear terms like you just mentioned, unprecedented, never before seen. And things are going to escalate to levels that have not been experienced in the course of church history, especially. And we're seeing these things on multiple levels. And as you mentioned, you know, this jihadi father and son duo in Australia, some of the footage, I think, is just so disturbing. The casualness that they went about their task, hiding behind walls on bridges and just firing down on the Jews on Bondi Beach. It just super unbelievable, I should say, just to watch this thing happen with such grave callousness and just indiscriminately firing. Just hard to believe your eyes, I think, when we see these things, Amir.
Yeah, and you know, we can't really show the actual shooting on video right now because YouTube will flag it immediately. But I want to direct people to my Telegram channel, because over there, we not only show the perpetrators, we show the actual shooting, the whole 10 minutes of how they freely use 6 different guns, shotguns, and hunting rifles, and they just uninterruptedly, almost for 10 minutes, were hunting Jewish people one after the other. Now, they knew exactly, Bondi Beach is big, but there's only one park, smaller part of it, where the Hanukkah celebration was. And they came all the way to a bridge that is right towering above that specific part, and uninterruptedly began to shoot and target Jewish people one after the other. And the youngest, Matilda, is 10 years old. The oldest, 87-year-old Holocaust survivor, 82-year-old woman as well. A rabbi, Chabad rabbi, was killed. We have a French Jew that was killed there. That's the rabbi. That's his wife and kids as well. He just had his son, a baby born, and he had the circumcision just a few days earlier. And you know what? They killed them for being Jews. These are not IDF soldiers. That's not Gaza. This is not about Israeli government. This is not about, I don't like the Israeli government, but I'm not anti-Semite. That stupid thing that people say today that even comes from the mouth of the Vice President of the United States, unfortunately. I cannot believe that people are trying to get away with the anti-Semitism by just saying, oh, it's okay to just not like Israel. Why do you think they're shooting people like that in the midst of their celebration? Why? Because the government of Australia has normalized this. Because when you are portraying the Jewish people as the ones that are okay with genocide and starvation and all of that, then what you actually do, you actually cause these animals to feel that you can actually do whatever you want to Jewish people anywhere around the world. You know, Piers Morgan on his show last night said to the Deputy Foreign Minister of Israel, and look what he said, that really drove me nuts when I saw that. He said, many people feel that many Jews are unsafe because of the actions of the Israeli government. Think about it. What if I said to you, Americans around the world are not safe because of the tariff decisions of the U.S. president? A decision of a president in one country makes an ethnic group unsafe all across the world. Is that something that sounds even logic to you? And the funny thing is, all of these people are criticizing a government by parroting rhetorics of Hamas, a terrorist organization, and accusing us for genocide, which never happened, accusing us for starvation, which never happened, and all of that, while not only that these things don't happen, but once you adopt that, it's the same people who actually vow to do October 7th again and again and again and again. So you're parroting slogans of people who hate us for being Jews, who people who think we have no right to even exist in where we are right now. And when you adopt their slogans, what do you expect a jihadist around the world to do? To think that only Israel is bad, but Jews are great? Of course, it's. I mean, look at it. Look at the similarities. It's the same Islamic terrorism. Look at the way they fled the Nova Festival. Look at the way they fled Bondi Beach. All of that while jihadist radical Muslims are shooting at innocent people. Same thing. So it's very troubling to see that. And it will not, Pastor Bate, will not stop there. It's not only that. Look at what happened in Brown University. They will try to sweep it under the carpet as much as they want. But that's when the police came in and the self-barricaded, the students finally could breathe a sigh of relief and then stand up and make sure that they are not the perpetrators. As you can see, they lift their hands up as the police walks in. But my point is, this is what you guys live in fear, and terrorism is afflicting you in your universities. This Palestinian, third generation Palestinian from originally, if I'm not mistaken, Lebanon, who is an LGBTQ activist also, he's, for the very interesting way, the Brown University is erasing all the information about him in the last day, so nobody can read about him anything anymore. He fits 97% match to the person they know that was walking after the shooting. And everybody heard him saying Allahu Akbar when he was shooting. And this is jihadist. He said that. Forget about that. Put that one aside. A Jewish professor in MIT was executed at the entrance to his own flat in Brookline, Massachusetts. I mean, this man was a very gifted professor for physics. He met with Rafael Grossi, the head of the International Agency for Atomic Weapon. He was a supporter of Israel. He says on his balcony, "I stand with Israel." He was executed. Not because he was someone who was wearing glasses, trust me. He was executed. And it's not even there. In Brentwood, in Los Angeles, a Jewish family had Hanukkah ornaments outside of their house. Somebody just drove by and shot 20 times at their house. Here it is. 20 shots right there during Hanukkah. And if that's not enough, he's shooting. And if that's not enough, Jews in the subway in New York, on their way to Hanukkah celebration, were attacked physically by a father and a son, jihadist Jew haters. Look at them. They're being attacked right there in the New York City subway. Look at how he grabs the Jew. Look at that. Take a look. Look at him. Look, he wants to strangle him. And if that's not enough, again, yesterday, another attempt to stab a Jew in Crown Heights neighborhood in New York City. Crown Heights. Look at this. The guy comes with a knife in his hand. A Jewish neighborhood. Look at him. Stabs him, and then just casually walking away from them. Look at it. He just walks away. That's it. These savages, these animals, they are bloodthirsty, but they are thirsty for Jewish blood. That's what they are. And there were cases, there's in Amsterdam, again, just to light a Hanukkah menorah and look at those animals that are coming to disrupt this thing. Why? Because they hate Jews, they hate Hanukkah, look, this is Amsterdam. It's central, it's Western Europe. This is not even, by the way, it's safer for Jews in Dubai. It's safer for Jews even if they were in Saudi Arabia or if they were Bahrain. They don't tolerate this. But the Western countries, the liberal governments, they tolerate that. And that's what we see happening all over in Poland. An Islamic terrorist attack has been foiled. at Christmas market in Germany. Islamic terrorist attack has been foiled. Christmas market. So look at this guy in Germany. Take a look at what he says. It's not just the Jewish people. Look at this.
Mal, wo ich ein positives Video über Deutschland mache. Wir sind hier gerade in der Schehidlik-Moschee in Berlin-Kreuzberg, meine lieben Freunde, und wir sind angekommen in der Islamischen Republik Deutschland. Das ist genau das Bild von Deutschland, was ich sehen möchte. Und passt mal auf, meine lieben Freunde, und an alle meine Deutschen, hört genau zu, Asma, Asma, Asma. Das ist nur der Anfang. Wir werden uns verbreiten, weil wir mehr Kinder machen und ganz Deutschland wird irgendwann, inshallah, voller Moscheen, voller Gebetshäuser sein. Und dagegen, fragt euch das mal, könnt ihr nichts tun, weil wir Muslime sind einfach in der Überzahl. Das ist die deutsche Hauptstadt, meine lieben Freunde, und wir sind stolz drauf. Wir Türken, wir Araber sind stolz auf unser Imperium, was wir hier geschaffen haben. Und wir gehen hier jedes Mal beten. Und ob es euch passt oder nicht, ihr habt euer Kulturgut und Kulturerbe schon längst verloren, okay? Deswegen, es gibt kein Deutschland mehr. Deutschland gehört den Muslimen, den Türken und den Arabern. Assalamu alaikum.
There you go. I don't need to say anything. He's in the capital of Germany telling the Germans, your time is up. That's it. We're taking over. You don't want to bring children to the world. We do, and we're taking over. Guys, so again, it starts with the Jews, but it will never, ever end with the Jews. In Poland, in Germany, in other places, it will continue with the Christians because first is the Saturday people, then it's the Sunday people. And if you're tolerating that with the Jews, you're going to find out that they're going to do that to you as a Christian. So I'm just saying, it's a shameful thing to see what's going on, and unfortunately, it's almost too late for some countries. I think that both in the case of Western Europe and in America, the Muslims are not yet more than 10 to 15%. And if the population will not stand up, uprise, and forgive me, but with the stupid government that Western Europe has right now, the people will not have any other choice but to have an uprise against the will of the government, because the government does not defend them anymore. And it will happen in America also. You're going to see people are not going to put up with this. Enough is enough. And you and I teach Bible prophecy for years. We believe that that's the crisis that Europe is going to go through ahead of the rise of the Antichrist.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting in covering all these stories and these individual actions. It reminds us of how late we are in church history and how close the world is to that man you just mentioned, the one who's going to rise up out of Western Europe, and that we call him the Antichrist, but his biblical title is the Beast. He is the first beast who is empowered by the dragon. And one of the things I think that's important for us to recognize regarding Bible prophecy and all the stories you just walked us through is that during the tribulation early on, this Antichrist, the rider on a white horse with a covenant in his hand, rides onto the world scene. The second rider on the red horse takes peace from the earth, and he causes men to, the word is translated in English, kill one another. But the actual Greek word there means butcher. To butcher one another.
Yeah.
And it's not talking about military powers going back and forth and fighting as they have throughout history. This is talking about individuals murdering other individuals. And we're seeing that on the rise in unprecedented ways today. And Amir, as that section wraps up, the Vice President of the United States has made just one of the most foolish statements I think that you can make in trying to separate anti-Semitism from anti-Zionism. And you know, the reality is, Amir, to say something so foolish that to not appreciate the Jews or to even dislike the Jews is a term he used, is distinct from anti-Semitism. And, you know, I saw something a couple of days ago that I thought put it as a profundity, if you will, which means something that's simple yet profound. And that is to say that you're not anti-Semitic, but you're anti-Zionist, is saying that I'll tolerate the Jews as a people, but if they have a home, I'm going to hate them. I mean, it's just absolutely idiotic to make such a statement. And shame on the Vice President for saying something so just beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, I can tell you that I've been suspecting that he is not exactly a lover of Israel for a long time. I think I share that with you also. a few times. And the very sad thing is that the evening when he tweeted that was while he was hosting a Christmas-themed Hanukkah candle lighting party in his residence. While he's hosting the Jewish people for Hanukkah, he's tweeting that, answering this white supremacist, Sarah Stock, who I don't want to say what I think about what she says about Israel and all that, but the thing is this, every time they say it's okay not liking Israel, they ask yourself, why don't you like Israel? Oh, because Israel massacres and genocide and starves? That means you're buying all the stuff that the anti-Semites are selling you. So indirectly, you are adopting the anti-Semitic rhetorics and wrapping it up with, oh, I'm not anti-Semitic. I just don't like Israel. That's all. Yeah, but if I'm asking you, why don't you like Israel? Then look at your answer. It's just crazy. You know, you and I are on our way to the Philippines. And again, we urge people to sign up for our events, go to our website and all of that. It's fine, but a lot of people don't know that the southern part of the Philippines, Mindanao, is a hotbed for radical Islam. A lot of people don't know that. The father and the son that committed the Bondi Beach massacre actually entered the Philippines on November 1st and left on 28th, and for almost a month, they were training. Anyway, the way they were shooting and operating those guns, that requires training. And they trained at the Abu Sayyaf al-Qaeda camps in the southern part of the Philippines. And I want to remind people, many people don't know. And I want to direct you also to a message that I gave on the, I think it was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It's called The Final Jihad. I gave that message. I think you may have been there as well. And I want to direct you guys to the fact that 9/11 didn't start out of the blue. They had a test run in the Philippines. The perpetrators, the masterminds of 9/11, actually came up with a plot which they named Bujinka Plot. And the Bujinka Plot was a three-phase Islamic attack. One is to assassinate the Pope while he visits the Philippines. Two is to plant bombs in 12 commercial airliners that are flying out of Southeast Asia towards Europe and America, to blow them up. 4,000 passengers were supposed to die in the air, mid-air. And the last one is to use an airplane to hit the CIA headquarters. In other words, to use the airplane as the bomb. It's exactly what happened on 9/11. That's the same mastermind of 9/11. And so my point is, it all started, I mean, there was a fire in the house where they made the bombs in Manila, and the Philippine police entered, found the bombs, and that's how it was all foiled. But the Bujinka plot was something big that could have been a 9/11 already in 1995, and with way more casualties. So my point is, Philippines has history with Islamic jihadists that are plotting to kill not just Jewish people, but to kill Christians and Jews and fight the West and bring it down in order to create Islamic State. Israel helped the Philippine government to fight the takeover of the city of Marawi by ISIS a few years ago. And again, we are going to Mindanao, you and I are going to speak in a city called Davao, which is the southern part of an island that is hosting Abu Sayyaf and ISIS there. So that's why when we ask for prayers, it's sometimes we go to places that they're not exactly the safest. And Yeah, but again, we love the Philippines. We will always go there. We always go there. Our hosts are wonderful. We feel very safe. But again, the father and son were there before to train. Way before that, the perpetrators and the masterminds of 9/11 also plotted things while there. It's very interesting.
Yeah, Amir, things continue to develop in your own country with this ongoing situation with Hamas and the delays and delays and delays of releasing the hostages, you know, both living and dead throughout these past months. But now, again, they are dragging their feet, trying to hold on to that last piece of their last card, so to speak, to keep Israel from simply taking care of business as they've been trying to do all along. But they've delayed the final hostage release and to delay the second phase of the agreement, which is their disarmament. So what's going on there?
First of all, Hamas will always find an excuse to say that Israel is to be blamed for not keeping the ceasefire, although every single day we are foiling their attempts to kill our soldiers within our area of control. But I will tell you this. Police officer Ron Gvili, he is the last person that they're still holding on to. This person saved lives of many Israelis before he was wounded, and then later on he died and was taken into Gaza as a dead body. Ron Gvili is now the card they're using. This is their leverage to somehow cause Israel not to go all in and destroy them, because they know how much it's important for us to get our sons and daughters back home, even if they're dead. However, I will say that, as you remember, there is this famous map and the yellow line. Hamas just released, let me show you the map so you can see what we're talking about. So this is the Gaza Strip, of course, as we all remember. And we all remember that Israel, in the height of the war, took over almost 85%. And then we had to pull back as a result of the ceasefire to the yellow line, and we're controlling 53%. Then, as you can see, we have activities in different parts and this is what Hamas released today. Hamas says Israel is not staying in the yellow line. Israel is using a new area called no-go area as a fire zone where they are shooting our own people. Well, no, Mr. or guys, Hamas, you control the green. Anyone that crossed the green towards us will be shot and killed. It's very simple. And they are very angry because while Israel is in the yellow area, as you can clearly see, yellow area on their map, doesn't matter, Israel is systematically destroying all terror infrastructures above and below the ground. So by the time it's time to disarm Hamas, everything else is clean already. We're cleaning it every day, every single day. We blow up more tunnels. We blow up more houses that were used for terror, and we kill more terrorists. So we're cleaning 53% of Gaza already now. Only 45% of Gaza is still there. So by the time we will need to move on and disarm Hamas, they cannot run anywhere else anymore. The cage of the rats is now significantly smaller than what it used to be. Now, according to phase two, there should be a peace or a stability force, Gaza stability force, something like that. Force that's supposed to be made of international soldiers. You know, the funny thing, no one wants to come and deal with Hamas. The countries that are willing to send troops, whether it's Indonesia or Italy or others, they're saying, we're not willing to go into the Hamas control area, only where Israel is. So who needs you? And who's going to disarm Hamas anyway if you're not going to do it yourself? We will have to, obviously. That's one thing. The only countries that really want to go in are the countries that wants to keep Hamas in power, and that's Turkey and Qatar. And Israel made it very clear to the president of America and to the American team, that's a red line that we're not willing and we're not going to let be crossed. Turkey is an enemy country. I'm saying that to the camera right now. Turkey is an enemy country. Israel is not going to wage war in Turkey, but Turkey is going to wage war in Israel. You and I know that. It is going to happen, and that's what the Bible says that will happen. Turkey is not a friend, and Turkey wants to win the prize of being right on our border, right there in Gaza. We will not allow that. Turkey will use whatever it can to come against Israel. By the way, the Israeli politicians and Israeli ambassadors already speak in that language. Ankara is enemy. That's it. And so, as far as we're concerned, we need to develop more and more alliances with Greece and with Cyprus and others and stand together against Turkey. And that's it. So this is where it is with Gaza. President Trump claims that there is peace there. Well, if you call that peace, then it's fine. But we are disarming anything that we see in our territory. And I believe that when the new year will start, there will be no other choice but to move in and disarm Hamas, because Hamas will not do it by itself.
Amir, we know prophetically that Israel is to be in an economic boom at the time where God rises up to shake the earth mightily, and all this coinciding with the invasion from the north of the five nations named in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and that war scenario. And, you know, it's curious for me to read a story like this. You know, being in California, 39 plus million people, we have the 17th largest economy in the world as a single state. We have an economy larger than the vast majority of the countries in the world. But for Israel, with under 10 million people, to have the third strongest economy on the planet can only be attributed to prophecy being fulfilled.
Absolutely. And it's very interesting. The magazine called Economist, when they want to say bad things about Israel, they put it on the front page. Take a look at The Economist from a year and a half ago. On their front page, Israel alone, March 23rd, 2024, Israel alone. And they put this blown flag. And then, can Israel's economy survive an all-out war with Hezbollah on their front? And that's in the last few months, as of a few days ago. They did not even put it on the cover or anything big. We had to read between the lines. Israel moves up three spots from last year in British magazine's ranking, and it's now the third buoyant stock market, the third in the ranking of resilient economy, the third strongest economy in the world. Our stock market is booming. The strength of our, look at the inflation. The inflation going lower and lower and lower and lower. Look at this, by the way, the currency. Our currency versus the dollar, and take a look at the Iranian and the Turkish. Okay, so if you can see on the screen right now, you can clearly see the Iranian, if that I'm not mistaken, we're talking about, this is one US dollar next to Israel, next to Turkey, and next to Iran. And it's phenomenal to see how the Israeli one surges and is very strong, while the others are plummeting to all-time lows. And so we're talking about an amazing thing. Israel is supposed to have a crippled economy. We have war after war after war after war. Is actually the strongest, with the strongest currency in the Western Hemisphere. Unbelievable. And I can also say, as of 2 hours ago, Pastor Barry, 2 hours ago, the largest defense deal in Israel's history, Germany is expanding its procurement of the Arrow 3 missile defense system by an additional $3.1 billion. Additional. So now the error agreement signed by the defense ministries of Israel and Germany is expected to exceed $6.7 billion. And if that's not enough, the UAE in Israel signed also a big deal, and the deal of $2.3 billion strategic defense agreement with Elbit Systems, an Israeli defense company, for the joint development of an advanced electronic defense system designed to protect both civilian and military aircraft. Unbelievable. You see what we're talking about. And so, unbelievable. And if that's not enough.
You know, Amir, I couldn't help but think of what happened during COVID and with the marijuana places. I can't remember what they call them. Dispensaries being open. Strip clubs were open. Costco was open. But the church couldn't be open. And you know, without question, especially here in California, because of our governor, the effort was to harm the church. And yet, much like what's happening right now with Israel in the midst of wartime, all the difficulties in surrounding countries. At that time, during COVID, when nobody was in the building in many churches, every Bible teaching pastor I talked to said, our giving has gone through the roof. People are not allowed to be in the room, but yet people have been just so responsive in making sure that the church could continue. And, you know, I think this is what's happening with the nation of Israel. Turkey is flailing, the lira's dying. Iran's economy is collapsing, but the people of God are flourishing in such times. It's just
and to God, amazing. Yeah, to God be the glory. And look, we cannot take credit for that. Not only that, Pastor Barry, Israel is the only country in the Western world and in the developed world that it's demographically is actually booming. Every country, whether it's America or whether it's Canada or whether it's Western European countries, they're all declining. Look at the UK, look at the US, look at Japan, look at the Euro area. They're all declining. Israel's demographic is blooming. We have an average in 2024 of 3.1 children per family, whereas in the ultra-Orthodox, it's almost 7. And for the first time in the history of the country of Israel, Jewish growth of population exceeds the Muslim. Because look at what the guy said in Germany. He basically said to the Germans, what we saw earlier. He said, we outgrow you. We have more children than you. We will take over. They can't say that in Israel. In Israel, the Muslim population is having less children than the average Jewish family right now. It's unbelievable. You would think that nobody wants to live here. You would think that nobody wants to be children in such a place where so much war and affliction, and yet we see amazing. And like, I do not give that credit to anything but to God and to the fact that He has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. We're not done. He's not done with us. And that's why I'm telling people, don't fall in that trap of hating us and coming against us and stand on the side of the Jew hatred and of the blame the Jew for every problem that you have in your world. Don't do that. Look, God is in the picture here. And absolutely, you do not want to be in the other team. Trust me, you don't.
Yeah, I think this is a good time to remind the viewers, you know, that a lie only has one enemy, and that's the truth. And you are hearing truth today regarding biblical facts, as well as some of the news stories that we've been talking about that are not being reported through the liberal media or the Medianites, as Amir likes to call them, and that they are just that. They are adversaries of the people of God, be it the Jews or the Christians. They are promoting things that are basically based on lies. And that's why we encourage you to make sure that you subscribe to both of our channels, as well as liking, commenting, and sharing these videos. Yeah. Because if we're going to have a foothold in this season where the battle has moved online, we have to make sure that we have a voice and a presence out there. And that only comes through your participation. The reality is, you know, the algorithms basically are set to promote things that people are watching because they want to see, you know, the numbers on YouTube and elsewhere rise as well. So please make sure you're subscribed to both of our channels, commenting, liking, and sharing. And even if your comment is simply where you're watching from, that helps push the numbers up too. So please make sure you're doing that.
Yeah.
And Amir, I want to go back to the Brown. Go ahead.
I just wanted to remind people as we come closer to the year end, please, if you want to have one of the best times of your life and have great fellowship of the saints, seeing God's creation and study the Bible with us, join our Alaska cruise in July of 2026 on the largest and the newest ship of celebrity cruises, I think. And we're going to be four teachers. We're going to give you not only Bible studies, but also Q&A. You and I will do a Middies and Beyond also. From there, we're going to have great worship time, study of the Word, enjoying the creation. It's amazing. Sign up and come and let's spend time together with you. It's a precious time. We're stuck with you in the middle of the ocean, and we finally have time to sit and talk and get to know people on a much more personal level. So, you know, if you want, scan this QR code and register. There's still some room. It's a beautiful ship, big ship, and it's a great cruise. It's a great time of fellowship and of studying the Word. All right.
Amir, you know, there are some places that are kind of a one-and-done visit type of thing, and Alaska is not one of those. Actually, we've got an additional stop that we didn't make on the previous tours. We're going to be stopping in Skagway, which there's a myriad of things to do there as far as excursions go. But the beauty is just incredible. It's the most fantastic backdrop for teaching the Word of God I think you're going to find on the planet, just outside of being in Jerusalem. It's just an incredible, incredible opportunity. Different ship this time, different stops this time. So I encourage you, if you came before, come again. We'll have a great time together. Yeah. And Amir, you know, we talked about the Brown University situation and the shooting of students in this classroom. And, you know, one of the things I think we need to also make mention of, and you alluded to it, that the shooter was crying the familiar Allahu Akbar, God is great, is how many translated. Actually, I believe means God is greater, exalting Allah over Jehovah, I think is the intention of that mantra. But the Providence police chief would not answer what it was that the shooter was yelling, even though witnesses indicated that he was crying out Allahu Akbar. And Amir, I think if we're going to list the things that are most bizarre in these final days, it is the protection of someone, a group of ideologues that are bent on world domination and the destruction of Western culture, and just simply turning either a blind eye to them or just downright protecting them as this chief of police did. It's just one of the strangest things I think that anyone has experienced down through the course of history.
Yeah, and you know what, Pastor Barry, it starts and ends with the government of the specific area. And if the government tolerates things, hiding things, sweeping things up under the carpet, it will not go away. It will come back. It will bite you again. There is only one way to fight these things, and that to fight these things and not to sweep them under the carpet, and to stand up, deport whoever you need to deport, and jail, put them in jail. And the problem you guys have, and it's the problem we also have, is a very corrupt judicial system that is packed with liberal progressive judges that, you know, all they do is the police works hard, detectives work hard, FBI works hard, you bring them to court, and then the judge releases them. Again, this is why it's important who you're voting for, because once you have the right administration, then they can finally put judges in the right places, that finally the country will come first and not power-hungry progressive globalists that have a different agenda than just the good and the well-being of their own country.
Yeah, it's interesting, Amir, in light of what you just shared, that, you know, there has to be a response according to the assault. You know, it needs to be something
Correct.
That parallels what's happening to you. And we're being invaded. There's no question about that. But even early in our country's history, you know, along the Barbary Coast, U.S. sailors were being kidnapped and enslaved by the Muslims. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson sent to, I believe it was a mullah in that area, and said, why are you doing this? And the mullah replied to Jefferson, well, it's because our religion says that we can. That's why we're doing it. And Jefferson made the argument. He said, hey, we've done nothing to you. And the guy just again replied, well, that's part of what we believe. It's our right to do this. So Jefferson sent the U.S. Navy and took care of business, so to speak. And, you know, it might be something that people find hard to hear and understand, but we are at war. And the United States and Israel and other countries that have, you know, Judeo-Christian values as the foundation for their laws and rules in their country, we're under attack. There's no question about it. And that's what I think is one of the catastrophic mistakes that's being made by administrations all over the world. They fail to see that Islam is not just a religious ideology. It's a political system.
Correct.
It's a form of governance called Sharia law. And again, you know, Amir, I think under the Truth is Stranger Than Fiction file, we've got a terror plot that is, again, the FBI has thwarted, and it was scheduled for New Year's Eve. And it was by a group known as the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which is basically a group that of indigenous people. They believe that the U.S. is fascist and colonizes, and, you know, they're against everything that the Western values stand for and that have brought, you know, about the prosperity that we have long enjoyed as a country. And there were four members who had planned terror attacks in Los Angeles and Orange County, where I live. So I'm thankful for the FBI on this one. And Attorney General Pam Bondi said, you know, these are far left, pro-Palestinian, anti-government, anti-capitalist groups. And this Turtle Island Liberation Front stands for the liberation through decolonization and tribal sovereignty. And they, on their social media platforms, have called for violence, as well as, you know, listed their support for the Gaza Strip. So, again, it's spreading all over the world, Amir. And
absolutely,
I think it's time to look up.
Yeah. And remember, a couple of days ago, you and I had a Q&A. And somebody was asking us about President Trump and the way he treats Palestinians and the Syrian new government. And is that does it mean that he's turning his back on Israel? And I said, you guys, you have to separate what he says with what he does. And President Trump signed last night a decree that forbids any Syrian passport holder or Palestinian passport holder from coming into America. These are the deeds, okay? So he can say whatever he wants about the Syrian president, how brave and young and handsome and great, but at the same time, he bans all Syrian passport holders from entering America because he knows exactly these jihadists are all about. And the same goes with the Palestinians that are holding Palestinian passports. He is saying, I don't need this garbage in my country as far as this ideology, not the people, but
That's
the
right.
ideology. Yeah, this ideology that is destabilizing the rest of the world. That's the last thing we need to import here. So again, words are one thing and actions are another. And there you go. These are the actions.
Yeah, donning a suit didn't make Al Jilani a non-jihadist. So,
you know,
I think the president has been wise in his actions. And Amir, our final story for the day, it's kind of interesting because this is one that's always just, you know, troubled me. We've just had such a barrage of conspiracy theories since the 2016 election, the 2020 elections, COVID, you know, all kinds of things are floating out there. Some are true and some are not. But this is one, you and I have talked about this and kind of laughed about it, for Joe Biden to receive more votes than any president in the history of the world. I couldn't buy it. I couldn't wrap my brain around 80 million Americans voting for Joe Biden. I don't know that many people that are so deluded. Of course, I run in Christian circles, obviously, but I still live in the neighborhood and shop in the stores. And it's just beyond me. But Trump now has stated there are truckloads of proof that the 2020 elections were rigged. And he said the election was rigged in 2020. We have all the ammunition and it's coming out in truckloads. And he said his administration is about to release the evidence proving that the election was rigged by the Democrats. And he added Gavin Newsom is rigging California elections with his mail-in ballots. Now, here's the thing that I find to be interesting about that particular accusation, so to speak, or charge, is that California is such a rigged election, Trump said, that they have 38 million ballots and everything was mail-in voting. They mail out 38 million ballots and they come back. And Trump says, where did they go and where did they come from? And I think that's a good question because there's only 39 million people in the state of California, a little over. And the well over half of them either aren't registered to vote or they're too young to vote. So how in the world did 38 million ballots return in a state that didn't have 38 million legal voters? It's just it is a crazy time.
We both know. Let's say the part that nobody wants to say. We all know what happened when they stopped counting in the middle of the night and then they returned to counting and everything changed. We know exactly what happened.
Overnight.
I said it then. Yes. And you know, Newsweek came after me and Twitter started canceling me and I had to actually walked away from Twitter and I only opened my X account once Elon Musk bought it. And all of that, it's all because it was evident. We all know that. So, Pastor Barry, you and I are going to speak in a interesting conference in March of next year that people finally can start, can register. This is your church's annual prophecy conference, and this time it's themed after my book, The Israel Decree, and you and I are going to teach throughout that conference. Can you say more things about it? And where is it going to be?
Absolutely. You know, Amir, I'm excited about this. And you and I talked about this because I think the Israel Decree is so important that it needs to have a lot of focus placed upon it for the fact that, as you at the outset talked about, the mindset of so many of our young people, as Pastor Mike was mentioning. And, you know, we need to get this right because if you don't get this right, you're not going to get anything right as it relates to Bible prophecy, especially in the last days. So this will be, I think it's our 11th year of proximity. And of course, always the focus is how close are we to the end, at least as much as we can know, to that moment and twinkling of an eye that we're all waiting for. And you can go to calvarycoc.org to register. It's actually not going to be hosted at our building, but a dear brother, Bob Copeny, who's going to be speaking with us on the Alaska tour, is going to host this event for us. We've done this two other times in the past, and you can register for that, and that's open now. And secondly,
you can scan the QR code, by the way, which is on the screen, and that's how you can register.
And also, we've got a trip coming up. I'm very excited about it. We've had some things canceled in the past, but if you'd like to go to Israel on a tour with us, you can do the same and scan this QR code and sign up for our tour. We'll be going from April 15th to the 23rd to visit all the wonderful sites within Israel. And I think we'll probably even bump into the Amir there a time or two. So we'll have a great
time. I'll host you at Connect and I'll answer questions here and it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. And hey, one more thing about the proximity conference, because we're only having three sessions, we're going to extend the Q&A a little bit because we always run out of time and there's always more questions. So we'll have a longer Q&A at this event as well. So be a great time together.
Yes. As always, as we come to the end, we want to release you guys with the Aharonic blessing. So I'll do it in Hebrew, Pastor Barry, in English. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichuneka, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. We pray this blessing in the name of Yeshua, our King. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Please share it and please comment, like, subscribe, and forward it to as many people as you can. I will see you guys with Pastor Barry for a Q&A next Monday. And I guess we're going to wish you all happy New Year and a Merry Christmas at the end of that program. And yeah. So until then, thank you, God bless you, and shalom.